From WXXI News, I'm Evan Dawson. This is Connections. Our connection this hour began yesterday and continues this hour as we do something that, frankly, we should have done last year, too. Last year, just before the end of the year, I heard from a number of listeners who said they wish they had heard of this need or this charity or that organization that helps kids or women in crisis. There are so many. The holidays are hectic, but for most of us, they're fun. They're happy. For those with so little, they can be very tough, of course. I also credit my son for pushing me to do this interview. He's 3 years old, and recently he asked what we could do to help other kids, kids who don't have much at all. I promised him I'd get some answers. So these are the answers. If you missed yesterday's show, we've got the podcast online at wxxinews.org/connections. What you're about to hear are specific needs from a wide range of people and organizations and specific ways you can help if you have the inclination and the ability. But just a reminder, first, here's some of what my son said yesterday about how he'd like to help this Christmas and holiday season.
It's about giving. I think we should do that. Maybe a light, maybe a small light when they're sleeping at bed that their mommy and daddy can keep.
A little nightlight too?
Uh-huh.
That's a nice idea. How about books?
Maybe a book that it's so short that you can read at bedtime.
Oh, that's really nice. That's a great idea. And maybe some longer books too?
Maybe some really big books.
And now let's get moving with today's conversations on needs and giving. My next guest is Jamie Saunders, who's the executive director of the Willow Domestic Violence Center in Rochester. And you want something to put Christmas and the holidays in perspective. You think about what's on your list or on your kids' list or on your relatives' list. Jamie was just telling me about a woman who all she wanted was a broom. Can you tell me this story?
Sure. The holidays are a really happy time for many of us. But those families that are fleeing domestic violence, it brings up a lot of issues and questions and doubts. And those families that stay at Willow Center in our shelter, our goal is to have them find safe and affordable housing, to leave shelter and to have a normal family life. And through our Adopt-A-Family program last year, we get a wish list from the families. And, it could be for the kids. It can be the game of the year. And this woman, it really struck me because all she wanted was a broom, as you noted. And I'm happy to say that the family that adopted her not only gave her a broom and dish towels and all sorts of things, also a vacuum cleaner. So, it's just this tremendous outpouring of support where many of us take things for advantage. She is just very humbled by what can make a difference in someone's life.
And so the good news, it sounds like, is that you've got roughly 80 targeted, adopted families.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
and most of them spoken for, taken care of, but that doesn't mean the need ends because, unfortunately, people can show up just about any day at Willow.
That's exactly right. So we take calls every day through our hotline, and families will show up for need and support. So we always look for extra items that we can support our families. And believe it or not, it's not too early to get on the list for next year for if you want to be on our Adopt-A-Family program. But even this year, it's just helpful to have any of those little extras that just really make Christmas and the holidays a very special time.
How would you do that if you want to adopt?
All of our information is on willowcenterny.org, willowcenterny.org, or we can call in 232-5200. It's our Adopt-A-Family program.
You have moms in mind in particular. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, we focus so much on our kids, and we're just so fortunate in this community. Actually, all of our law enforcement professionals all throughout Monroe County, from the Sheriff's Department, Town of Brighton, Gates, and they're all collecting toys for our young people, which is terrific. We also want to not forget the moms. So if you can imagine being in a shelter and the kids get all of these wonderful gifts, and that's what the mom's focus is on, as it usually is for all of us. We focus on the kids. How special to also focus on the moms. So we are looking for anything from, any pampering to bathrobes, pajamas, any of those things that can make mom feel really special. And we actually set them up in our office, and the little kids get to come and shop for their mom, and they pick out great gifts. And it's the sweetest thing where my mom's favorite color is purple, or she would love this, or she would like that. It really is a way for the families to connect.
Do you have a deadline for that? Is that an all-year-round thing? Is it a holiday thing?
That's an all-year-round thing. We have a real need for it between now and really the week before Christmas holiday is really big for us because we set up that shop. But as you noted, Evan, we have families who show up every single day, and they show up pretty much with nothing but a garbage bag of belongings. So we are always in need of pajamas, slippers, because, again, they're living in a congregate setting, and anything that can be a little bit special for the families.
My three-year-old inspired this whole idea of lining up all these charities to talk about when he was asking me about what he could do to help. You must love it when the kids come into your office and they get a chance to pick out stuff from them.
It's so empowering for the kids. They want to learn to give back. They want to learn to take care of others. And you've got a great little guy there, Evan.
Well, I mean, I don't want to give the community the wrong impression. He's like any three-year-old. Sometimes he'll stop and say, what am I going to get? You know, but no, he understands that he's very fortunate. And there's plenty of people out there who don't wake up with everything he has. That's inspired these 2 days of conversations with local organizations. And I kind of want to wrap on that point because Jamie touched on that. But I just think what it would do to someone's life to not only be a victim of domestic violence, mm-hmm. but then to have to deal with the holidays, to feel the stress. We all feel enough stress as it is, even privileged people like us. I mean, it's part of the time of year. And it has to be compounded in a way that almost makes it dreading the holidays because you might not have a home, or you might be in a temporary shelter, or you might not have the resources.
It's very true. You know, we can get very self-reflective at this time as well, and we see a lot actually of families who come to us right after the new year. I think many of us look at New Year's resolutions and we think, you know, taking stock of our life and where we'll be. And the holidays are like that as well. When it's, you know, if you turn on the television, the radio, you walk down the street and look at a store, it's about family and celebration. So it really is important that we not forget these families that are in need and that we also take care of them. I can't tell you when we have a pickup. It's, you know, confidential. We can't, as other organizations, have people come and hand over the gifts. But last year also, I remember this woman, the baby was sleeping on the floor in their new apartment. They had no furniture. They would put a whole group of coats, and that's what the baby was sleeping on with mom. And her wish, of course, was a crib. And she said, nobody's going to buy me a crib. And it was a crib. It was the crib set. It was everything phenomenal, not only for her, but also a bed for the mom. And she just burst into tears, and all of us did. And those are life-changing moments that just last forever and ever for everyone.
Yeah, what a great story. And by the way, you said you see more after the new year?
We do.
I mean,
we do.
Is it essentially people making a resolution that I'm not going to put up with this anymore?
I'd have to ask someone like Kate Cerulli to do some research for it from the U of R, but we can see this, that there is a trend where right after the new year, we've also noted it on people's birthdays. We just started to pay attention to that as well. So, you know, we don't know rhyme or reason. What I do know is that our 40-bed shelter is full every single night. We get 5,000 calls every year in our hotline, and it's right here in Monroe County. So the need is vast, and we can only do it with the community support.
All right, your online where? One more time?
WillowCenterNY.org.
Lots of ways to help those families in a very difficult time of year for them. Thanks for the work that you do at Willow, and we'll talk to you again in the new year.
Thanks for spreading the word.
My next guest is the Rochester Director for Teen Empowerment. Doug Ackley is here. And Teen Empowerment is an organization we've talked a little bit about at various times throughout this year. But I think it's important to ask you again, Doug, just remind our listeners what it is that you guys do.
Sure. We hire young people every year. We're over in the Genesee Street area, so we hire young people from the Southwest Quadrant between the ages of 14 to 20. It's a job for them. It's a paid position as a youth organizer. They look at the issues going on in their community, and they organize events, activities, projects, and other initiatives to bring together the community around changing what's happening around them. So really a youth-led effort.
How many are you employing right now?
So we just hired a group of 13 youth organizers out of a pool of over 450 who applied this year. There was an outpouring of interest and desire to change the community, many of which might have been ignited by the events on Genesee Street this summer. We know young people are coming out to make some change.
You know, that's so interesting to me because some people would assume that what happened on Genesee Street, first of all, at least one of the people involved had some connection to you guys, I know, and it touched so many people. And my concern was that this is going to shut people down. They're going to be scared to get involved. They're going to want to stay doing their own thing. And what you're telling us is it's been sort of the opposite.
We actually found the opposite this year. We had more young people apply than we ever have. And that was very inspiring for us, but also difficult because we've got all these young people that we can't hire, and we're trying to work on some job opportunities and other resources for them. But I think they want to stay involved.
I would guess that for Christmas, for the holidays, you'd love to give every kid who wants one a job, and you can't do it yet. But if you're going to be able to do that in the future, unlike a lot of organizations we've been talking to who need specific items, let's be honest here. You guys just need financial support, don't you?
We do. We need the support to keep our work and our efforts going. This is the time of the year when we usually put out our annual appeal, you know, which is the kind of money that hires the staff and the youth who run this really important operation. But over the holidays, you know, it's interesting. The youth, since they design these community-based strategies that bring together other youth, what we do find is that the holidays can be a really difficult time, you know, particularly folks who have lost people, folks who've had difficult family situations. And so in the past, our young people have organized efforts around this theme of holiday healing. And so last year we did an open mic night and a youth brunch all over the holidays that had healing ceremonies, candle lighting ceremonies, those kinds of things where young people could really get together, talk, unite, feel comfortable, feel like community. If they don't have community at home, they certainly have it at Teen Empowerment and the youth who lead these efforts. You know, we need the money to keep those jobs going so that youth can continue this important organizing work. That's really what's crucial. And also the money to pay for these types of initiatives that are around healing around the holidays and uniting the community throughout the course of the year.
For listeners who might be kind of joining us in the middle of these conversations, we started yesterday, Tuesday, today being Wednesday, and we wanted to do an hour on each day talking to organizations around the Rochester and Western New York areas who are helping people in very specific ways around the holidays, because our listeners have asked us for it. They said, don't wait till the end of December. If we can help around the holidays, let us know how. And so one of the themes that you've been hearing is that for all of us who look forward to the holiday season, it's sort of the opposite for people in need who don't have anything, because it's if you wake up on Christmas morning with nothing, no, and I'm not even talking gifts. I mean, start with gifts, but no family to get together with, no meal to go have, that probably makes it sting even more. Would you agree with that, Doug?
I agree. Absolutely. There are a lot of young people who don't know what they're doing that day, you know, and so we, you know, we have a lot of dialogues and conversation about it, and that's why it's so important to bring young people together in this sense of community where youth, you know, oftentimes who don't have that type of family support become their own support for each other. And that's why the youth-led efforts at Teen Empowerment that are really community-based are so important around this time.
All right, so let's wrap with this. Give us a picture of an average week for somebody who got one of those 13 positions at Teen Empowerment. What's it like? What's the ages of people you have? Tell us what it's about.
Yeah, so we hired young people this year, I think between the ages of 15 and 20, and they come in 4 to 5 days a week, typically Monday through Thursday, but sometimes Fridays. At 4 o'clock, they work until about 6:30, and their work involves planning the initiatives that they've decided on for the year, impacting the issues that they want to focus on. So if oftentimes we've done an open mic night around the holidays. We call it Holiday Healing Open Mic. And my guess is that's going to be one of the things coming up for them. They just got hired, so they're working on their plans this week. But, you know, they'll be writing speeches. They'll be planning interactive unity-building exercises for this type of event. They'll be often designing original theatrical performances that may touch on some of the things that you just spoke about the holidays. They'll be doing spoken word pieces. So they're really writing from their own experience to impact young people, designing flyers so that we can reach out and get as many young people into these types of events as we can fit in our space.
I'm so glad to hear that after Genesee Street, that there is even more interest in what you are doing and what Teen Empowerment is doing. And, you know, I'm not an advocate. We've talked about in the program. I just try to shine a light. But this is an organization that does need a lot of community support, because we've had listeners say they should hire 30 more. They should hire 50 more. And Doug is sitting here nodding, saying we would love to.
Right. Yeah. And staff, too. I mean, we only have 2 full-time staff that are working on the program. I mean, so we're really kind of bare bones, grassroots effort that really needs the type of community support that shows that it's behind youth-run efforts.
Thanks for the work that you do. Merry Christmas and happy holidays. I hope you have a bunch of great events around the holidays with the students and the youth who work there. And we'll talk to you in the new year, and hopefully it's Let's just hope it's a strong, better year. No more Genesee Street stories.
Absolutely not.
All much better stuff. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. We appreciate what you do at XXI.
Our next guest is Tom Hildebrandt, who is the president of the Hillside Children's Foundation. With the Hillside family of agencies, and as we approach the holidays and we think about helping people, in this case, we're thinking about helping kids. How are you?
Good, Evan. Thank you for having me.
Well, we're glad to have you, and I know that your organization does so much for kids locally. With the holidays coming, let's get specific. What can people do?
We have a program that's been in place for more than 25 years called Hillside Special Santa. It's a very simple concept. We ask people in the community to help us gather gifts on behalf of our families. And then we will have other volunteers from the community come to a central location, call it Santa's headquarters, if you will, and they'll actually gather the gifts to give to the families so the families can give them to their own children. So it's the community helping through Hillside to help families make a brighter Christmas or holiday season for their loved ones.
How many families, how many kids are you aiming to help?
We will probably serve in the Rochester area around 3,000 this year, wow, which is quite a number, particularly since if any child in the family, a sibling of a child, we like to get three gifts for each. So you can do the math and you can figure very closely we're getting near 10,000 gifts by the time we're done.
Do you get them wrapped and everything?
No, we ask the people bring new gifts and they're
unwrapped.
Unwrapped.
Okay.
Categorized in three basic components. One would be something warm to wear. Maybe it would be a fleece, a hoodie, educational toys or games, sports equipment, MP3 players less than $25 in value, and for girls, beauty products, hair products, things like that. So it's anything that any child could use. The majority of the kids that we will be serving through this program this year are age 10 to 24, both boys and girls. So that's very simple.
All right, so give us marching orders. I want to buy three gifts. Yep. They're going to go to one kid. I'm going to get a great fleece sweatshirt.
Yep.
I'm going to get a piece of sporting equipment, like a nice football.
Sure.
And what's the third thing?
A game or a book.
Okay, a game or a book.
You can do one of two things. You can drop it off at Special Santa Headquarters, which is on 2075 Scottsville Road.
There
sorry.
2075
Scottsville Road.
Scottsville Road, yep.
Or we have a tremendous list of community partners where you could actually go and pick up a tag and find out a gift that a particular child would like, get that gift, and deliver it to the community partner.
Oh, okay.
And which might be actually easier.
Yeah, and where can they do that?
We have a number of really good friends. Canandaigua National Banks, all branches, Country Max, Nothnagel Realtors, Pizzeria Uno, the Railway Station Diner, Sue's Salon, the Genesee Brew House, CB Craft Brewers, BJ's Warehouse in Greece, Palmer Foods, and Charlie Brown's Restaurant. All of them are gathering gifts on our behalf. We'll pick them up and get them back into our warehouse, and we'll distribute them to the families.
What's the deadline?
The deadline is probably, I'd say, about the 15th of December, just to make sure we have enough. People can also go online if they can't get to a location and make a cash donation. www.hillside.com. Invariably, it happens. We get right to the deadline and we don't have enough of something. So having some cash makes it easy for us to go shopping on your behalf and fulfill those last-minute wishes.
And the last question, and we'll let you go, and this is really such a great thing that you're doing for so many kids. How do you determine what families are eligible? How do you decide who is going to be getting this?
Well, we serve across our geography, which is all of Central and Western New York and Prince George's County, Maryland, over 12,000 families. So it's really among the neediest in the families of the families that we serve. So we're really only going to do 3,000 out of the total of 12,000. So it's up to the workers that work directly with the families to decide which kids and which families are the most needy. So we'll do that screening ourselves. We'll be ready to go. Lists are being developed. They've been developed for weeks now. The crew is ready at Scottsville Road to get started, get these picked, and get these ready to be delivered. And we'll make some people very happy at the holidays.
You certainly will. Tom Hildebrandt is the president of the Hillside Children's Foundation with the Hillside family of agencies. To all of your Secret Santas out there, and especially the families that you serve, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and thanks for the work you do.
Thank you to the community once again.
My next guest is not only a name, but an organization that I know you are familiar with. They've seen some changes, Volunteers of America. They're still with us doing great and important work, and Joanne Ryan is the president and CEO for upstate here. How are you, Joanne?
I'm well, Evan. Thank you.
Well, I know some changes. I was just saying there was a VOA right near the house that we used to love to drop off clothes to. So just what's a brief update on the changes for VOA?
Yeah, the changes, as mentioned, we have closed all of our resale stores. But the good thing about that is it allows us to really focus on our core mission, which are the programs and services that we bring to the community every day.
And that's what we're looking at here for this time of year. Very important. And you guys have caring gifts. I've got a list of a bunch of different things here. You want to work me through some of what's going on?
Certainly. Caring Gifts is a wonderful way to have, if there's something that touches your heart and you want to really support, there are lots of opportunities. We serve children. We serve adults. We serve adults that have been successful working through addiction into sobriety. We serve folks, families, and individuals who are homeless who find themselves back in the ability to be in housing again. So all of those areas are really something that VOA is very proud to provide services for. So if you any of those speak to your heart, feel free. That's the way we are really operating.
All right, give me some of the big pegs, and then I'm going to jump in with some questions because I really like how specific. The Caring Gifts, there's 10 different points, and I think you can find it online, right, Joanne?
That's correct.
And where online?
If you go right to our website, voaupny.org.
Okay, so what stands out? What are the big ones you want people to hear?
Well, the gift of shelter. If you're interested in helping somebody who has worked hard to get back on their feet and having housing provided for them, that's one way to certainly support us. We have a gift of hope, which really helps families who are moving from the shelter into their own homes, a gift of self-confidence, assisting individuals to really move back from a dependent position to an independent position. And one of my favorites, they're all my favorites, but one of my favorites is the gift of childhood, which is an opportunity to support Camp Heroes, which is a unique camp that we started last year, helping inner city kids actually go to overnight camp. And the really unique thing is all of the counselors are off-duty officers and firefighters, and the kids don't know that when they first come. But it's a great reveal at the end of the week when they all come in full uniform to present camp awards.
Wow, that's such a neat idea. And each of the things that that Joanne is mentioning, they all have a dollar amount on them. Very simple, starting at the baseline, the smallest dollar amount is one of my favorites, which is the gift of literacy.
Absolutely.
$15, helping teach a child to read, so literacy assistance, and then new books for three kids. $15.
Absolutely.
That's a great one.
Absolutely. And you know, the good feeling that comes from knowing that you've really made an impact in someone's life. Many of the folks that we serve are really, you know, they're doing well just making it, though. And the ability to support them helps to make the holidays a little more robust or really help to ensure stability in their lives or the lives of their children.
And she mentioned gift of shelter. That's $55. Gift of childhood, $60. Self-confidence, $25. Again, business attire and coaching for job interviews. And then, of course, you have what you call the gift of future, which is just helping you continue the mission, I assume?
Absolutely, it is. And, you know, the thing is, on any given night, there are 600 to 700 homeless individuals that would fill 15 city buses. So our city is in great need of supports like VOA, and the ability to participate as a community member really is a great way to celebrate the holidays.
All right, so those are the caring gifts. Anything else you want the community to know, and anything regarding deadlines for the holidays coming up?
The Caring Gifts campaign runs until the end of December, so if you're in giving mode and would like to consider VOA, we would be most grateful for that.
Thank you for coming in. Thanks for the work that you do, and Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to all of you guys at VOA.
Thanks so much, Evan.
I'm Evan Dawson. On Thursday, it's Happy Thanksgiving, and we hope it is a happy Thanksgiving for you and your family and friends. We'll be back on the air with Connections this coming Monday, so we'll talk to you then. And in the meantime, you can enjoy some special programming from NPR and our friends in the national offices. So from all of us at Connections, happy Thanksgiving, and we'll talk with you Monday.
Hi, it's Lynn Rossetto Casper with The Splendid Table. Be sure to join us for Turkey Confidential, culinary triage on the day you need it most. Thanksgiving. We're here to take your calls with some help from Jacques Pepin and Andrew Zimmern. Don't miss it. That's Turkey Confidential, live Thanksgiving Day from 8 p.m.
Tomorrow at noon on WXXI. This week at The Little, Breaking Bad star Bryan Cranston takes on the true story of a blacklisted screenwriter in Trumbo. The Boston Herald says Cranston is in the Oscar race for his portrayal of Dalton Trumbo, a top writer who was banned from Hollywood because of his political beliefs. Louis C.K., Helen Mirren, John Goodman, Diane Lane, and Elle Fanning also star. For more information, trailers, and showtimes, visit thelittle.org.
My next guest is Ed Suk, who is the executive director of the New York Regional Office for the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. That's located right here in Rochester. And Ed is on the line with us now. This is a time of year that we wish the story were different, but missing and exploited children has important work to do all year long. When it comes to children going missing for various reasons, Ed, you've said that this time of year is worse than others, yes?
Yes, it really is, Evan. This is a challenging time of year for many families. The stress level is higher than usual as families come together. We sometimes see a significant spike in the number of runaway cases that are reported to the center, and also those challenging family abduction situations, custodial interference cases, and the result is that kids are not home where they need to be, and we see an increase in those reports to us. So we're in a significant need of being able to ramp up our work and provide greater services to those families dealing with the loss of a child during this time of year.
All right, so we're being very specific with our listeners. What exactly can they do that would be most helpful for helping an organization like yours, Ed?
Well, one of the most important things they can do is help us with donations. The donations support the work that we do locally. They enable us to put out an increased number of posters of missing children and provide wraparound services to families that are dealing with those losses, that are continuing that search and dealing with the fact that they've got an empty seat around their holiday tables. And those financial contributions can be made very easily through our primary website, which is missingkids.org/New York.
And Ed, before I let you go, I'm just curious if do you have any excuse me, any numbers offhand or any idea for how this is trending? Are we seeing more missing children cases, fewer cases?
You know, it's been pretty steady over the years. We have typically around 20,000 children that go missing every single year in New York State, and about 1,000 right here in Monroe County alone. And it's been a pretty steady number, a couple of little peaks and valleys as we've gone along over the last 5 years or so, but it's pretty steady. And if you think about it, 1,000 kids going missing a year in Rochester alone in Monroe County it's an enormous number. And those kids are a tremendous risk when they're not at their homes. And our goal is to bring them home safely.
Thank you, Ed. We'll talk to you again soon in the new year. Happy Thanksgiving, happy holidays, Merry Christmas to you and the staff over there at Missing and Exploited Children.
Many thanks, Evan.
My next guest is Sarah Cole, the Vice President of Youth Development for the YMCA of Greater Rochester. She's on the line with us now. How are you, Sarah?
I'm well. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, we're glad to have you. What's going on at the YMCA, especially this time of year? What do you want the community to know about?
Sure. So we're so happy to work with all of our community members year-round to make sure that all the families in our community have what they need to be happy and healthy. But we're especially thinking about this during the holiday season. And we have some wonderful opportunities right now for folks to get involved and help out some other members in our community. We're very excited to be doing a winter clothing drive right now at the Carlson Metro Center YMCA, which is right on Main Street. And folks can come into the Y anytime, and there's a box in our lobby, and they can donate new or gently used winter clothing, including coats, hats, gloves, boots, scarves, just anything that you would need to stay warm during the winter, either in children's or adult sizes. And we help get that out to members in our community who might need a little bit more assistance this winter with staying warm.
How do you hook up with those families? How do you find out who has the need?
What's wonderful is we're able to serve families in so many ways, and many of the families we serve are working very hard to make ends meet. So we can actually connect the resources with the families who use some of our services, whether those are membership services, senior services, or child care services through our child care center at the Carlson Y.
We've talked a lot these 2 days about helping kids. And it's important to make sure kids around the holidays feel like they're included in the fun and in the celebrations. But I guess more than anything, you want to make sure they're warm and safe. And that's part of what you're doing here, isn't it?
Absolutely. And in addition, I want to highlight the fact that we have two resource rooms, one at the Carlson Y and one right around the corner at the Lewis Street Child Care Center. And those resource rooms year-round stock shelf-stable pantry items, clothing, books, and educational supplies. So we're always open to donations of those items as well, to your point, to really address some of the learning and fun that children also need to have to be happy and healthy. So if folks have any of those items, again, gently used clothing, shelf-stable pantry items, or children's books or toys, again, could be new or gently used, we will be happy to connect with those folks and get those items out to families who need them.
Sarah Cole from the YMCA of Greater Rochester. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to all of you and your staff there. Thank you.
To you as well. Thanks so much.
Another way to help the animals in our lives is to support an organization like the Verona Street Animal Society. Jennifer Brown is the president. She is here with me now. Where is Verona? Well, it's on Verona Street. But give our listeners a geographic picture where you are.
Sure, absolutely. So the Verona Street Animal Society is a supporting organization for Rochester Animal Services, which, as many people may or may not know, is the Municipal Animal Care and Control Agency for the City of Rochester, and it has a wonderful shelter with lots of adoptable animals. They're located at 184 Verona Street, which is two blocks north of Frontier Field.
And you've got some holiday needs. Do you need a holiday greeter?
We do. Actually, one of the things we're always looking for are volunteers. So we like to fit our volunteers into a capacity that will be satisfying for them, whether it be dog walking or playing with cats, helping with adoptions. But certainly this time of year, we look for a holiday greeter to be at the front of the shelter to welcome people. So that's something we're definitely looking for.
When to when? What kind of commitment are we talking about?
Well, it could be a couple of hours a week. So we would love to get several of them and really schedule it around their availability.
They can contact you. How to do that?
Yeah. If you want to go ahead and go on www.vsas.org, there is a contact us. The email is vsasinc@gmail.com, or you can call the shelter directly. We would love to hear from you.
What is the sort of either the capacity or how many animals are you serving now?
Wow. Okay. So, it really, we're hoping that it shrinks. You know, that's the goal. Every year, the goal is to see less and less animals coming into the shelter, see more and more staying in the home, and to have the success of spay and neuter so that there are less and less homeless animals out there. On an average, on an annual basis, there could be approximately 5,800 animals coming into the shelter.
Wow. And one way to help with that is to get more foster families, right?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the ways we expand our services and reach beyond our capacity of the shelter walls is to get animals out into foster. We find it really helps us place special needs animals that don't do well in the shelter and really helps us expand our capacity. So that's something we're looking for.
How long is a foster commitment?
Now, a successful foster, which we like to work towards, is somebody who has time available to help the dog acclimate socially, train them, and then actively help us place them. So, take them to events at PetSmart, Petco, where they can be seen and people are out looking to adopt so they can make introductions.
All right. So lots of ways to help. And then, of course, if you're thinking about before the end of the year a financial contribution to an organization, I know Verona Street would appreciate that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. There's two ways you can help through donations, whether it's a direct donation, which, where you go on our website or say you support us through Rock the Day coming up. But there's a lot of indirect ways you can do it through your regular shopping or certainly holiday shopping on websites like Amazon Smile. We have a lot of partners that are listed on our website that proceeds will go directly to us. So
one more time, the website
is www.vsas.org.
Have a great holiday season. Thanks for the work you do.
Thank you so much. You as well.
My next guest is the president and CEO of CDS Monarch, and it's Sankar Suwanat, and he's on the line with us now. Sankar, how are you?
I'm good. Evan, how are you?
Well, very good, and thanks for taking the time for us and our listeners who've wanted very specific ideas on how to help the community. First of all, remind our listeners what CDS Monarch is, how many people you serve, and how long you've been doing it.
CDS Monarch is a mission-based organization in Rochester that serves about 2,500 people from here to Binghamton, actually. We have a wide reach. We're a very diversified organization. Our primary mission has been to serve people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. But in recent years, we also felt like we could expand that mission and build a bigger community at CDS Monarch. And so we've expanded the mission to serve seniors in our community. We have two senior housing facilities. We also have expanded the mission to serve our veterans coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan. And in terms of our expansion into Western New York, we partner with a group of nonprofit organizations in upstate to offer managed long-term care services to about 1,000 people right now. So we're very, very pleased with how we've been able to deliver these services.
And Sankar, if there are specific ideas that you would have for our listeners on how they might be able to help an organization like yours this time of year, what would they be?
You know, Evan, it's such a great question. Throughout the year, we look to our community to help us, whether it's helping the people with intellectual disabilities, helping our seniors and our veterans. But if I was to pick one thing for our community to know, is that our men and women coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan deserve our help and our support so that they can regain their lives. At CDS Monarch, we created a program called Warrior Salute 5 years ago. And the mission has been to help those veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder and traumatic brain injury to regain their life. And so we provide holistic, intensive clinical therapies, vocational rehabilitation, and transition our veterans back home. And it's been a wonderful experience for us to be able to give back to our brave men and women, especially during this time of Thanksgiving, when we think about us enjoying the fruits of our labor, sitting around a fire with our families. I can't help but think about our men and women who are around the world protecting our nation. And so for us at CDS Monarch, we have raised the money every year to support this program. It's a small program, but it has such an impact. And 80% of the men and women that come to the program are able to successfully complete it and go back home.
So if people want to support the Warrior Salute, specifically, where can they do that? How do they do it?
They can call us at 341-4600, or they can go on our website at www.warriorsalute.org.
Sankar, to you and the staff there at CDS Monarch, happy Thanksgiving, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and to all who celebrate, and thank you so much for taking the time for this program. We'll talk to you in the new year.
Thank you so much, Evan. Take care.
Our next organization that is helping people in our community particularly targets women and children. It's Sojourner House at Pathstone, and Mia Young is the development officer from the Sojourner House. It's nice to have you here. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Well, tell us a little bit more about what Sojourner House does first.
So Sojourner House serves homeless women and their children. We provide housing programs and all of the support services that these families need to be successful in that housing. We also have a variety of programs for children as well after school.
How many women and children are you serving?
Typically, in a given year, we serve about 250 women, and the number of children varies year by year, but usually about the same number.
Can you give us just a brief sense of the kind of circumstances a woman's in when she ends up in Sojourner House?
Absolutely. So, you know, every homeless family is different, but really the big things that we tend to see are a combination of, you know, coming from an abusive household. Maybe there's a history of addiction or alcoholism there. Often there's also a combination of trauma and sort of mental health issues that have all come together to cause the homelessness.
And so people have given gifts for kids, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely.
But there are even more specific needs. So let's talk a little bit about that. Start with blankets.
Yeah. So this year for gifts, our biggest focus is blankets. They do have to be brand new. But mostly fleece and plush blankets. They can be fun, you know, different patterns, different colors, characters.
So if you want to go out and pick up some blankets and just drop them straight off at Sojourner House?
Yep, absolutely.
Where are you?
We are located at 30 Milbank Street in the 19th Ward across the river from U of R.
Okay, and we were talking before the program began, Mia and I, about the value of opening a gift on Christmas, but the experience of home. And what that really just means is they constantly need funding. They need money because you're trying to provide a sense of home. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so a lot of these families have been tossed around. They've been, you know, staying on friends' couches. They've gone from one shelter to the next. Really, these kids just want to be home for the holidays. So if you're able to make that a reality, please consider giving a gift. You know, my family, I'm the first to say that we love picking up blankets and different gifts for the kids. But really, it's so different opening those gifts at home surrounded by family versus, you know, playing with a gift on a street corner or in a shelter. So if you're able to do that, you know, they say there's no place like home for the holidays. And for these kids, it could not be more true.
Okay, so they can make a financial contribution to SOJOURN?
Yep.
And again, what's the easiest way to do that?
So there's many different ways. If you just Google Sojourner House, our address and phone number will come right up. You can mail a check. You can call us, make a donation over the phone. You can also just go straight to our website and contribute that way.
We truly hope that the homeless women and children that you are serving have as good a holiday season as possible, and there are many better holidays to come for them because of the work you're doing. Thank you for coming in.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Our next guest is from the American Red Cross. Kara Noble is the communications manager, and the Red Cross has various ways that we can help around the holidays. Thanks for coming in, Kara.
Thanks for having us.
All right, so what's going on around the holidays at the Red Cross?
You know, we have a special campaign that just kicked off called the Give Something That Means Something campaign. And it's perfect around the holidays because people are thinking about getting their holiday wish lists together. And we want to ask people in the community to consider giving blood, a blood donation, and putting that on your holiday to-do list. Between Thanksgiving and New Year's Day, we see a drop in donations at blood drives. People are busy. We want everyone to have a wonderful holiday season, but at the same time, we can't forget about people in the hospital, moms, dads, kids, grandmas, anyone who depend on life-saving blood transfusions, and those transfusions can only come from healthy volunteer donors.
I have been in the position of having a family member in the hospital on Christmas Eve, and you know around the holidays how unexpected and jarring and difficult that can be, no matter what our circumstances are. And then just to hear that the Red Cross say that around this time of year, not because the community doesn't care, but because we're busier, blood donations are down. It's just something to keep in mind.
It really is something to keep in mind. You know, we have blood drives at our high schools and colleges. Well, they're on break. They take their winter breaks. They take their vacations when you're in high schools. And they account for about 20% of our blood donations that come in during the school year. So you don't have that. You have people traveling to see their loved ones. It's just not in the top of your mind when you think about it, of things you're doing for the holidays. But there are people in the hospital every day, cancer patients who need platelets and blood transfusions. So we need that blood supply to stay stable so we can make sure that when they need the blood, that they will have the blood. As a special incentive, a special thank you gift, from next Wednesday, November 25th through November 29th, they will get a pretty cool Red Cross spoon and a celebrity chef recipe set.
All right, very good. So that's from the end of the week, the 25th through the 29th.
Perfect, yes.
Okay, real briefly here, you also have comfort kits to tell us about.
You know, comfort kits is a perfect way for your family. We asked you that you consider doing blood donation as a new family tradition, but also through the Red Cross, you can put together Holiday Heroes comfort kits, and this is for veterans. It's different things like toothbrush, toothpaste, shampoo, conditioner, deodorant, all those things that we use every single day, but we don't think that there are people out there who may need them. Put together a kit, drop it off at the Red Cross, and they'll get it to the people who need it.
Okay, and where can we find out a list to do there? I mean, I can think of household needs, but do you have a list online or somewhere people can access?
Yep, I would go to redcross.org, and if you're looking for blood drives in your area, perfect thing to do, you can download our new blood donor app. Really cool. You can schedule your donation appointments on there. You can also use your donor card when you're coming to a blood drive. You can go to redcrossblood.org, put in your zip code where you live, where you work. Some people like to donate when they're working on their lunch break. That'll populate a whole bunch of blood drives. You could also still call 1-800-RED-CROSS.
I've heard some people say you can't donate blood and go back to work. Too lightheaded. Myth?
Yeah, you can go back to work. Just make sure you drink plenty of fluids before and after.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Thanks for the work that you do at the Red Cross.
Thank you. Same to you, too.
Our next guest is the development manager of St. John's Foundation. It's Kristen Eklund who's on the line with us now. Kristen, how are you?
Great. How are you?
Very good. Well, St. John's Foundation, people know the term St. John's Home, St. John's Foundation. Remind our listeners where you are and what it is that you do.
Here at St. John's, we serve more than 450 elders living in the Rochester community at St. John's Home, as well as about 20 residents of St. John's Greenhouse Homes located in Penfield. The majority of our residents, actually more than about 85%, are living with some level of Alzheimer's or dementia. So we offer services and care that really focus on their needs.
All right. Well, our listeners have asked. They said, get specific. What can we do to help coming up here in the holiday season, whether it's gifts or resources or volunteering time or events? What do you have for our listeners?
Absolutely. Well, as you know, donations to St. John's Foundation are what make training, programs that benefit the seniors and the elders of St. John's all possible. So coming up on this Sunday, December 6th, we actually have our annual Illumination of Love program where folks are able to dedicate a light in honor or in memory of a loved one. It's a holiday tree lighting ceremony where we light up the Skelney Courtyard at St. John's Home, and all are welcome to come. You're able to sponsor a light for $5 in honor and memory of a loved one, and the sponsorship goes directly to improving the lives of the elders here at St. John's.
If you want to do a $5 light, how do you sign up and do it?
You can go ahead to stjohnsliving.org/foundation, or you can certainly give us a call as well. It's 760-2464.
Thank you for the service that you do at St. John's Foundation. And, you know, this is the kind of work that touches just about every family in the community at one point or another. Please say happy Thanksgiving and happy holidays and Merry Christmas to the staff there on our behalf at WXXI.
Absolutely. Same to you.
Our next guest is here to talk about an important day coming up next week. You've probably heard of it by now. How many years, Julie Geyer, have we been doing Rock the Day?
This is our fifth anniversary.
Fifth year of Rock the Day, which is next Tuesday. Julie Geyer is here. She's the Director of Marketing and Communications for the United Way of Greater Rochester. And when we've been reaching out to these organizations asking, well, what are your specific needs around the holiday? Julie focused right on Rock the Day. What do you want people to know?
So Rock the Day is our community's 24-hour giving extravaganza. It starts at midnight on Tuesday, December 1st, and that coincides with the National Giving Tuesday, the Tuesday after Thanksgiving. We have 550 local not-for-profits, causes, and programs set up to receive donations for all the amazing work that they're doing in our community.
And my understanding over the years is you have structured that online in a way that's sort of easy to search. So if I want to help teenagers, if I want to help the homeless, if I want to help animals, you've got sort of all of that kind of delineated, right?
Definitely. There's so many different categories that can fit any passion that you're interested in helping. So we've got animals, arts and culture, human services, environment. You can search by county. So it's the 9-county Greater Rochester region. If you really want to help someone in Livingston County, you can go ahead and search by that. We've got lots of causes and organizations throughout the region.
Okay. Any specific goals? I think they all have their own kind of goals, yeah?
Yeah, each of the organizations kind of sets the goal that they're hoping to achieve. And for us, really, the sky's the limit.
What do we know about recent years in terms of giving? Do you have any of the numbers there?
I do. So actually, we looked recently and we realized that over 96 hours in the past 4 years, we've raised more than $3 million for all of the great causes in our community. So we're really happy about that, and we're excited to push it for year 5.
All right. Next Tuesday, Rock the Day, and the website again?
It's rocktheday.org.
Good luck with that, and have a great Rock the Day next Tuesday. Julie, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
We continue our conversations with the different organizations in our community that are helping kids, families, people in poverty, people in different situations. Our listeners have asked for it, and so we are providing you with a chance to hear from them directly as you consider your holiday giving. And my next guest is Chris Lavin, the Executive Director of the Geneva Community Center and the Boys and Girls Club of Geneva. He's on the line with us now. Hi, Chris. How are you?
Good, Evan. How you doing there, man?
Very good. Very good. And this is a time of year where, you know, a lot of people are busy. We have a lot to look forward to, but we also want to keep the needs of our community in mind. And you guys have you're saying you've got a sort of a big name in the Geneva community, and it's a big name across the country, the Boys and Girls Club. That means you've got a big job. Tell us about it around the holidays.
We find ourselves to be the center of some charitable efforts at the holidays, some of which are well directed with us, some of which may be better directed elsewhere. So in Geneva, what we do is we work together with the Salvation Army and the Geneva Center of Concern, as well as Catholic Charities, and whatever we get, we look for the right outlet. So if there are families that we deal directly with here at the Boys and Girls Club, we get things to them. But if it's we don't have the right match, we find the right match. Geneva is, as you know, we call ourselves uniquely urban. We're a small city, but we have all the big city issues. They're just on a micro scale. Makes it easier. We know all the families here, and we know the needs better. So if you send things our way, we have a very high percentage of on target of what the donors intend. The teenage gifts are big. Sneakers, things that kids sort of like. We also we go right down in our organization to kindergarten. So we like books. We're really pressing in Geneva for things that inspire kids to learn, reading and things like that. Reading literacy things, math and science things, STEM things. The other thing we're going to be going through a major renovation of our lower. We have two campuses in our Boys and Girls Club, one of which goes from K to grade 5, and we're going to be redoing that entire place and giving the community down here the opportunity of buying things like a single chair in our renovation. We're turning our lower campus into a literacy academy, and we want to give kids state-of-the-art computing and furnishings as well.
Very good. Well, between now and when, what's kind of a deadline, and where can people go specifically to deliver some of this?
160 Carter Road in Geneva, New York. It's just across from the high school, and it's our main community center. Also, number 1 Goodman Street, which is down on the northeast side of town, are our two locations. Anything brought to either of those locations during the holiday finds the right home. And as I said, if we don't have the right recipient in our organization, we find the right one through the Salvation Army or the Center of Concern or Catholic Charities.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you for what you're doing, and I know you're helping a lot of kids through the Boys and Girls Club there and the various organizations you work with. So happy holidays and Merry Christmas from us to all the people you serve down there.
And all my best to the people of Rochester. This is a great region, and we're all on the way up.
My thanks to all the organizations that took the time to come in and share what they need from all of us this holiday season. And here's hoping they all have a great holiday season for the work they do for this community. If you want to read more about what they're doing, or you missed kind of what someone said, or you want to check it out more specifically, we're posting links to their websites so you can follow up on how to give if you choose to do that with your time or your resources. Go to our podcast, wxxinews.org/connections. You'll find all the podcasts there. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And thanks to Megan Mack, the producer of this program, and Valerie LaBanca, the engineer. I'm Evan Doss.